Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's VE Console Overview Conference Call. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to your moderator, Mr. Greg Hintermeister. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Greg Hintermeister, and we'll be talking about the VE Console today. And I'll be spending about 30 minutes going over an overview pitch that you have. And then Susan Crowell will be going to install bridge concepts. So I'd just like to get started. On the slide that you have in front of you, VE Console 2.0. Now, if you just go to slide 3, the VE Console is, for Release 2, is leaps and bounds beyond what Release 1 was, and that's really exciting to me. So I'm going to give you some overall, you know, what this thing does, what it's meant to do, what its goal in life is, and then I'll go through some functions that you can learn about. So slide 3 has its main point. You know, the VE Console, it provides a simplified view of your environment through a single point of control. And well, how does it do that? Well, first it gathers information. It gathers health from a number of sources. It gathers tasks from a number of sources, a number of resources, operating environments. All of those things are gathered across your environment and then put into a common user interface, a web user interface, that can be you can interact with regardless of the operating system, regardless of the platform, and regardless of which management server has been used in the past to manage those resources. And so, you know, it gathers information, lets you interact with it, and perform a number of converged tasks, view graphs, view topologies, troubleshoot, all that stuff from one UI. And then, since we know we're not superhuman, although we'd like to think so, we can't do everything in Release 2 that you would want to. And so we have the ability to launch to the places that you can perform them. And what's neat about this is we don't just say, oh, you know, we just don't really do this, so good luck. We don't even say, we don't do this task, but if you go to IBM Director or iServes Navigator, you can perform it there and then cut you off. What the VE Console does is it will say, oh, well, we can't do it, the task you want to perform directly in the VE Console, but we know where to go, and we know the context you've been working in. Let's say it's System 5 that's running Linux, and you want to perform some file transfer. Well, you can't do that in the VE Console directly, but there still is a task to transfer files in the VE Console. And the way we let you do that is we will then launch IBM Director, install it if you have to, and position you into the context of the task you want to perform with the context, the resources, the systems, the hardware, whatever you had picked to perform that task. So the VE Console starts, gathers your environment, lets you interact, and it takes your mental processing of, hey, I see this thing, and I see its health, and it's bad. I want to fix it. And it lets you think through that troubleshooting process without jolting you into a new, completely different experience as far as a different console, or forcing you to find out where to go. And so that's pretty much its goal in life. Slide 4 is another way to look at it. You know, it is the management user interface for the VE. It's in the Integrated Solutions Console. That's a somewhat important point. You know, we wanted to spend our time writing tasks and not every single different person and function write their own framework, shell interaction. So we use the Integrated Solutions Console and as our place to hold the tasks. You're going to see that name when you use it. So that's what that's for. It's a visual identity, and one of the nice things is it abstracts the OS and solution boundaries. And I'll get to that in a little bit. Slide 5 is one of my favorites, where the VE Console has worked very hard to satisfy 5 of the main requests from users over the years. And the first one, and most important, is the health of my environment, where users say, hey, I've got all this stuff, and the most important thing to me is knowing if it's doing well or if it's not. And so that's the first thing we did. Even in release one of the VE console, we provided a health center. In release two, we've improved on that. We've added more sources of health, as well as showing hardware status, hardware problems in the VE console. But right on the heels of that was, well, I see this thing is performing not so well, but what are the side effects? What are the relationships of other resources to this one? And what are some side effects of that health problem occurring? And so in release two, we have a resource topology. You find the resource that's having a problem. You can show the relationships of the of that resource to others that surround it, others in the environment, and you can start making better decisions on when to power things down, when to perform certain tasks, things like that, when to apply fixes, that kind of stuff. Well, and because so many things now are running multiple operating environments, whether it's Linux or Windows or AIX or i5OS, ZOS, Zlinux, all these things take a certain expertise, and wouldn't it be nice if you could apply the expertise that I have in one area to new areas? And so in release 2 of the VE console, we have a number of converged tasks. I've got a little list of them later on. And what it lets you do is say, well, I really know the problem, I just don't know how to get to that particular OS to fix it. Because I'm not familiar with it, I'm not familiar with the UI that manages it. Well, so now in the VE console, you can click, I know it's an IP, TCP configuration problem. So you open it, you point to the resource, you don't really care what operating system it's running yet, and you can perform that task. And so if you're an expert in i5OS and you need to work on Linux, or you're an expert in Windows and you need to work on AIX, you can start applying your expertise into those new OSs. Now, there is a point that you have to cross to say, okay, now I'm in OS, deep OS management land, and you need to be an expert in that area. But there's a number of things where you can really start doing valuable work as you learn those new environments. And number four on our user list was, well, if you have a UI, like the VE console, that works across platforms, across operating environments, please don't dumb it down to only the least common functions. And so we have added what we call OS extensions. Sure, we have converged tasks, converged health, and it's a single point of management. But when the time comes and you need to really focus in on the particular OS, we still have those OS management tasks that let you drill down in a deep way. For i5OS, we have integrated portlets. I'll show you those. For other OSs, we launch into the console or the UI that does support those deeper level, those OS extensions. And then finally, with something as comprehensive as the virtualization engine, the users said, well, don't force me to manage the VE. I got the thing because I wanted to have it help me manage my environment. Don't force me to spend lots of time managing the tool itself. And so we've done a number of things to improve that and make that much better, including software updates. I'll show you that. We have a readiness welcome page to say how ready, are there any other things you need to set up, that kind of stuff. There's a setup wizard. There's configuration for the topology. There's single sign-on, so you can sign on once into the VE console and never have to sign on again as long as you're running that session. So those are the user experience themes that we've been achieving in Release 2. And slide 6 is another perspective on integration that kind of shows the depth of how we do integrate across your environment. The management servers, there's a number of management servers that we point to, sources of information that we gather from, common tasks we present so you can interact with those multiple sources in consistent and common ways. And we launch console, so we gather where can we go to complete the user's mental needs, their mental track of fixing this problem, without forcing them to have a little whiplash effect. And so we launch into all these different consoles. And we gather customer resources and operating environments, and all that's bundled together and integrated into the VE console. So the key values are a single point of administration, a comprehensive set of management tasks, graphical resource topology, consolidated health, and a graphical dashboard of monitored metrics. And got about some nice slides to show you some pictures and some more function on all of those. So slide 8 will show just an overview of how much the VE console has grown. Release 1, we had the health center, and in release 2, we have a number of additional tasks. Some are more integrated than others. Some we call loose integration, where file transfer, for example, we don't have an integrated web UI to move files around between your OSs, but we know where to go to do that, depending on the context you choose, depending on the system you choose. And so all of these tasks are available. And on page 9, I'll walk through all of these functions for you in the next 15 minutes. Okay, page 10 has the health center. I've talked a little bit about that already, where it gathers health from a number of management sources. For release 2, the big one we've added is EWLM, and we've enhanced the other ones as well. And so really from the health center, you are going to be able to find the health of everything you care about. The different management sources manage all the endpoints. And so all you have to do is select which sources of health you care about, that you care to, that the health center gathers information from. There is a setup wizard now, so you can open the setup wizard and walk through, and we will discover and list the management sources that we are aware of. And so all you have to do is pick one, rename it if you want, and then there's even a page saying, do you want to automatically add all the monitors and all the groups that are available from that management source. So that's a very nice way to get an overview health from that environment, from that management source, into the health center very quickly. And then, of course, you can always customize that list either from the list of groups or the list of systems or the list of monitors that are running. All of those things you have complete control over. We just wanted a nice way to prime that environment for you. As you drill down into the health center, we've got a page on page 11 is a bigger picture, showing the VE console with all the tasks on the left and the health center in the main workspace. And as you drill down, all of the tasks you can perform are also available on the context menus. And that will, it's a nice balance, because now you have a task-based approach on the left and you have an object-oriented-based approach in case, well, I know there's something wrong with this, what can I perform on it? You just open the context menu and you'll see all the tasks that you can perform. You also notice that it's got the same benefits as first release, where we have a summary portlet on top, where it bubbles the health up. So if the things you care about are running fine and all the monitors are running well, then it's going to say okay, and you're not going to have to worry about things. If they're not running well, though, then you have to go down and investigate. And you have the main workspace in the middle to drill down and see all the good information. You have a watch list on the far right to say, well, I really care about this particular list of information. Let's move it to the watch list to keep an eye on it. Maybe I want to see my monitoring and my resources that are going on while I drill down into some event list. And then on the bottom is the dashboard, where we show any metric of interest you can pull out from your environment and add to this dashboard. And you can have, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 little widgets if you want there to sell to you. Okay, then we have topology. Slide 12 shows topology, and you click resource topology from the navigation area. There's actually two different types of topologies in Release 2. The first one is the virtualization engine environment, where we will show you all the systems, all the software that are participating in the VE. It's a very nice way to visualize, here's where all the software is installed for this particular solution. And you can kind of think of it as a solution-based topology. And then the other one is the managed resources, where you can view all the resources in your environment. You can drill down to network-level information, operating system, application, a number of things, and see the relationships between the resources. And I've got some pictures. Page 13 shows a picture of the virtualization engine environment. Here's all the systems involved. And if you right-click on one of the systems, you can choose to see the relationships and see more detail behind that system. When you do select a resource in the topology, the properties in the lower right will show you the properties of that item. Even the relationships are clickable, so you can click a relationship and see the updated information about that relationship and how those two resources interact. And page 14 is another sample of the managed resources, as well as page 15, where you can, it's just a better picture to show the overview, the properties, and the main view. And there's a number of ways you can toggle between this view. Also, you can show a table view, for one for accessibility, and then two for, seeing more columns of information, that kind of stuff. Page 16, we have hardware management. There's two ways we do hardware management in the VE console. The first one is showing the hardware problems. It's a web UI that talks to IBM Director, and all the hardware problems reporting in from IBM Director will show up here. And you can toggle between looking at whole groups or individual systems of hardware problems. And then we also show a number of tasks that you can launch into the context of the resource you're looking at. And so at the bottom of 16, you see target systems and groups. You pick an iSeries HMC, for example, and below it will show you all the tasks you can perform. And it just so happens that some of these you're going to have to launch into the HMC UI or IBM Director to perform those. But they're all available here, so you don't have to wonder, well, how do I get to perform that task? We'll worry about that for you, and we'll open, install, or download the proper thing in order to open it if you've never done that before. Page 17 is Resource Dependency Services, RDS. This is the the collection mechanism for the topology. And it is set up initially, but you may want to go in here and customize it. So if your topology doesn't show all the stuff you want, you can go in here and customize when you want to collect information, where you want to collect it from, that kind of stuff. And that's available both from the welcome page and from the VE console's task list. There's a setup section that you can open this. Slide 18 shows OS management, and here's where earlier I talked about satisfying users' requests of not dumbing the environment down to the least common denominator. And we have converged tasks, like I said, but then when you really need to view details, for example, here's a picture of active jobs on an i5OS server. What this lets you do, all this OS management function, is see the problem from the converged health, maybe run some converged tasks, but then you can select that object, and depending on the operating system, the VE console knows enough then to present all the detailed OS tasks that are available, including work management tasks and security and all those other things. So you're going to be able to open, for i5OS, you're going to be able to open right into an integrated portlet, which is what is shown here. It looks just like a part of the VE console because it is. For other operating systems, we will show tasks that you can launch in the context of the system you're working with. And we will launch IBM Director, install it if you have not installed it on your PC yet. We'll launch WebSM and download it. WebSM is a big old applet that runs locally, so you'd want to download it. And then iSeries Navigator, if it's installed on your PC already, we will open that and position you to the task and to the resource you want to perform that task on. So it's really a good combination of common tasks, and as you drill down, there's OS extensions available within the VE console, and sometimes we open an integrated web UI, and sometimes we will launch an existing UI, but preserving the context that you're working in. And page 19 shows us another example. Right now I've opened the TCP/IP servers for an i5OS server. And slide 20 shows launching context in a little more detail. Or on top, I've selected, and I'm in the health center, and I see a problem with the system, so I select the context menu for it. And as you see, there's a number of categories, there's a number of tasks in the category, and you can open, and we have a little cute little icon to show that it's going to launch into another console, or if it's going to be an integrated native web UI. And the little, in this case, it's a IBM Director task, and so when you select it, it will say, hey, we're going to be opening IBM Director, or if it's already open, it will reuse the current edition of the current instance of IBM Director, as well as the other consoles. And then it will position you to the place you want to go. On page 21, I've got another example where, in this case, IBM Director has been opened before, and I've got the VE console running, and I've got the converged health. And if I have to do, in this example, event action plan wizard, I want to plan what to do if an event kicks off. And so here's a wizard to say, well, if this type of thing happens, then do this action. And you walk through it. But in order to get to this, you need IBM Director. But as you see, it looks very integrated because all it does is bring up the event action plan wizard over the page of the VE console. And so you're going to see that as you start working with this, you're going to be able to take advantage of a lot of different tasks from the same experience. Page 22, we have the launch pad, and this is a place where, like I talked about earlier, we gather information, we present in an integrated environment, and then we launch to places that aren't quite as integrated, but we know they are useful for you. And so here's part of the goal here is to launch related consoles. We also discover other virtualization engine consoles like EWLM and other things that we will put right in here. We'll detect other VE console installations and add them here. And then we've got a thing called My Tasks. And this is a nice place to create your own custom view. Because if you collect inventory a lot on a particular system or a group of systems, currently, you have to make a few selections in order to do that over and over and over again. Whereas if you want to save that, you can save the task along with the context of the task that you perform it a lot with and put it right in the launch pad. So then you open the launch pad, you click once, and off it goes. So it's a nice shortcut method to customize your own view of the VE console task. So I've got two more pages here. The slide 23 shows VE serviceability, where we'll take the virtualization engine updates. We will look at the systems, like you saw earlier in the topology. We'll look at all the systems that are partaking in the VE environment, look at all the software that's installed on them, and then show that to you in a UI. And then we'll say, well, why don't we go look for fixes that are available? So you click the link, and it opens a nice little wizard. We go to IBM to find the fixes available for the particular systems that you selected. We'll let you download it and then show the table of all the downloaded fixes. You can click on the link to see another portlet with detailed information. And then you can install right from here. Any management server fix or patch or whatever you call it, you know, whatever the platform calls it, is available here. You don't really need to understand or know the nuances between the operating systems, which is very nice. Now, if it's an agent fix, this also will help you with agent fixes, but it's not so seamless. We'll let you see it, we'll let you download it, we'll let you distribute and install, but how we do that is actually open IBM Director and let you distribute it through IBM Director and install it from there. So, but at least we'll lead you to how to do the agent installs. And VE management, simplified management, where we have a welcome page which shows the readiness of the VE console. Maybe there's additional things you need to do for single sign-on or discovery for the topology or the health center. Maybe it's not, doesn't have any sources of health. You need to start doing that. All of those things are simplified in the welcome page. Welcome. And then we have the setup wizard, which I talked about, lets you see this discovered sources of health, and then prime the whole environment. And so that is a brief half-hour summary of the VE console. And there's a loads more information and detail to go through, which we will commence in doing in the next time. So thank you very much, and I appreciate your time and attention. Are there any questions before I kick off?
This is the operator. Does someone signal for assistance?
Yes, operator. I'm sorry. I'd just like to, if you could just join the call and have the next speaker begin, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Susan. Because there's no questions.
Sure.
Thank you.
Please go ahead, Ms. Kroll.
Okay. My name is Susan Kroll, and this release I was a team leader for the Virtualization Engine console. I'm going to take you through two different presentations, the first one about install and the second one about our bridges and kind of what the concept of a bridge is. So if everyone can pull up the slides on install, I first want to give you some background on what install was like in Release 1. One of the major goals for Release 2 was simplification and making the customer's job easier. And we came up with that goal based on feedback on how our Release 1 install went. So when we were designing Release 1, we wanted to use web service security. So we used web services to connect for the console between the console and the legacy consoles that we're getting information back from. And when we were designing that, we implemented kind of a complicated security procedure. And what that required the customer to do was, first of all, go out in LDAP and create some LDAP settings. And so we ended up with a bunch of information out in Info Center about how to do that. Then we also required them to create something called LTPA keys, which was a WebSphere concept, and to move those between their different WebSphere servers. And then the last thing we expected them to do was to type all of the LDAP settings that they had created in multiple installs. And so if they installed the console on one machine and then they installed the bridge that it needed to talk to on a different machine, we asked them to type in the settings more than once. And so some of the problems that we saw were that somebody would one time type an LDAP ID or an LDAP host name capitalized, and the next time it would not be capitalized. And so we found that a lot of times WebSphere was sensitive enough that the two console and the bridge would not be able to talk to each other. And so we really had this problem that we required the customer go through a lot of screens, and they didn't understand what the concepts were. And so a couple days ago, there was a presentation on VE install and configuration, and so you've probably already heard about some of the environment things that were put in for the installer in Release 2. Basically, we take advantage of all of that by all of our LDAP settings, all of our LTPA keys, all of that is stored off into this virtualization engine environment. And the next time the customer does an install, they're just picked up from there. So it's a lot more seamless from the customer. And we've seen a lot less problems during testing this time. And we certainly got a lot of feedback release one from customers. I'm the main customer service person for the console, that our installer was just too complicated. And we've seen a lot less feedback from testers this time. So if you can go to chart 2, what the objectives are of my presentation, I'm going to talk about what installable units we have for the console in Release 2. I'm going to explain what the install prerequisites are that we have. I'm going to explain something that we created in Release 2 called the Common WASP Profile. And then I will also talk a little bit about what install panels we still do have in Release 2. Because even though we did a lot of simplification, we still do have a few install panels. So you can go to chart 3. So here are the installable units of a console that you would see if you ran the installer. First of all, the virtualization engine console, which in this case is the client, and then you can think of the next four as servers. So a bridge to cluster systems management, which is an AIX project, a bridge to enterprise workload manager, or EWLM, which is on pretty much all the platforms, and then a bridge to IBM Director, and then a bridge to Management Central. And in my next presentation, I'll be explaining more about the bridges, but I wanted to give you just an overview of what installable units we do have in Release 2. And then at the bottom, I say, to get additional topology information, we do have a prerequisite on, to get the most topology information on resource dependency services, or RDS, being installed by the customer. So you can go to slide 4. So our install prerequisites, like I mentioned earlier, you should have already heard some about the virtualization engine environment. But basically, we ask the customer to either create a new environment or choose to join one that has already been created. And so what that allows us to do is pick up all the LDAP settings, all the security settings, all the LTPA key settings that the customer has already done in their first install, and pick those up and do those for a second install. Secondly, we do have a prerequisite on LDAP. We do use LDAP for the security between the client and the server, so the console and one of the bridges. And also, this virtualization environment information is all stored out in an LDAP server. Then we have a prerequisite on WebSphere 6.0, and actually for this release, it's WebSphere 6.0.2. And so we ask other parts of the installer to install that for us. We do have a prerequisite on WebSphere security, which basically means that a set of panels the customer is asked to go through come up about what they want out in LDAP for their WebSphere security settings. And I'm sure you've already seen the environment presentation, but if you haven't, you should go back and watch the VE install and config presentation, because they did a lot of work this time to do default settings. And so what we found is that customers really didn't have any idea what to answer some of the questions that we were asking them. And so we allow them now to have the opportunity to just say, give me the default settings. They are prompted for passwords, but that's really simplifying what the customer sees. And then we created something called a common WebSphere profile, and that's also really simplifying the customer's job. So if you can move to chart 5, I'm sorry. So this is an idea that we had in to create a common WebSphere profile that multiple installers could use. So in Release 1, if you were to install the Virtualization Engine console client and then, let's say, two of the bridges, so you want to get information back from Cluster Systems Management and you want to get information back from EWLM. Well, so you would actually end up with three separate installations of WebSphere. And what we were hearing back from customers was that was a lot for them to be responsible for keeping up to date, for servicing, and so instead of fixing their virtualization problem, we were just creating more things that they needed to administer. So what we did this release is create a common WebSphere application profile installer. And so if any of the products listed below, so the bridge to Cluster Systems Management, the bridge to Enterprise Workload Manager, the bridge to IBM Director, the bridge to Management Central, ODIRM, which is providing topology information, or Resource Dependency Services, or RDS, which is also providing topology information, if any of those are selected to be installed during the installer, they will all share the same WebSphere profile. Some of you may be familiar with the WebSphere 5.0 term instance, and the WebSphere 6.0 term is profile, so basically it's one thing that shares a whole bunch of settings together. All those will be installed in the same one if they're on the same machine. And so you could install the console, and you could install all of these products, and they would, so you would end up with only two WebSphere profiles. So we believe that's a big leap ahead in serviceability and simplification for the customer. So some of the benefits of that, as I say, are this reduces the amount of RAM that's going to be used on the customer machine, because WebSphere, as we all know, is a fairly heavy product, and so it uses a lot of RAM and also uses a lot of disk space, and it also uses serviceability. We have gotten some questions from customers about changing their LDAP password, and unfortunately there isn't an easy way to do that through WebSphere, and so we have a whole set of directions on how to do that, but basically the more WebSphere you have, the more places you need to change those kinds of settings, and so we believe that this is going to really help customers by having less to service. And so this is kind of an invisible installer to the customer. When they get the install screen that asks what products they installed, they will see that the Common WASP profile is being installed, and they will get a question about what port they want it to run on and whether or not they want it to automatically restart. But it's not something that they have to pick through the installer. It'll just get laid down automatically. So you can go to Chart 6. So this tells you some information about the panels that we still do have in Release 2. For the virtualization engine console, the only one that we have asks if you want the console to restart automatically on startup. So basically on i5, that means it gets created as an auto start job. On Windows, it gets created as a Windows service. So it's just a convenience for the customer if they want to have their console restart. So it's just a checkbox. The Cluster Systems Management bridge to the console, and I should mention, you may notice if you were familiar with Release 1 that the names of the products changed a little bit. In Release 1, the same product was called Virtualization Engine Console to Cluster Systems Management, and the decision was made that by highlighting the product that the console is bridging to first, that it was a little more clear to the customer what functionality they were getting. And it was less confusing, since the concept of a bridge was confusing to them anyway. So there are no panels for that installer. There are no panels for the Enterprise Workload Manager bridge to Virtualization Engine Console. And the thing that you will see, which is another improvement in Release 2, we didn't have a bridge to EWM in Release 1, but for Release 2, if you look at the installer, it's actually under the Enterprise Workload Manager category. And so one of the things that we tried to do for simplification was kind of put the bridges more with a product. So in this case, the bridge belongs under the Enterprise Workload Manager category in the installer. And so it's less a concept that's just kind of hanging out by itself in the install panels. The IBM Director Bridge to Virtualization Engine Console has two panels. One of them asks what platform and machine name Director is running on. And so there is a little bit of capability here to run the bridge on a different machine than what Director is originally running on. And so it'll ask the platforms that Director can run on. There's a pull-down box, and then it'll ask for the specific machine name that Director is running on, and then it asks if you want to, as part of the install, verify the connection to Director. So if you already have a Director server that you'd like to connect to, it can, during the install, attempt to verify that connection to Director. And if it can't you'll actually get a failure panel, and so it's kind of a choice for the customer whether or not they want to verify that, but it also allows them some flexibility to install the bridge before they install Director if they're installing Director for the first time. The Management Central bridge to the Virtualization Engine console, this release has no panels. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would have looked at these installers that did exist in Release 1, they all would have had these LTPA panels that would say, do you want to import keys, do you want to export keys? And without going any more into the concept, it was basically just something that customers didn't understand, and it was adding some complexity to something they really don't need to know a lot about. It's more an implementation-specific detail. But because it was on different machines, we actually had to ask them to move this flat file between machines. And so by putting all of that out in the virtualization engine environment that the customer chooses to either add this install to or to create for the first time, we take away a lot of install panels that we had, and that allows us to only have a few panels for each of the bridges. And then the common WebShare profile will ask what port you want the profiles to start with. It does take 15 ports on the customer's machine, so it asks what port that you want that set of 15 to start with. And then again, it asks if you want the common WebShare profile to restart automatically on startup. So again, it's a convenience for the customer to allow them to have the profile restart automatically rather than having to start it when they restart their machine. So if you go to Chart 7, basically that was what I wanted to talk about for our install today. And it's a fairly short presentation because we did do a lot of simplification this release. If you would have looked at some of the installers in Release 1, they would have had 5-6 panels. And I think we've done a lot this release to go towards our goals of simplification for the customer. And so we went through the installable units of the console. Basically, there's the four bridges, and then there's the console that the customer can choose to install. And there's a lot of information out in the planning advisor and some of the other information that the customer gets about which products they might want to install, and it also helps them decide which machines that they want to install those products on. We went through the install prerequisites. We do have a prerequisite on LDAP. We do require them to create a virtualization engine environment, and then we do require them to have WebSphere. And if they have the console, we also require them to install the integrated solutions console. But again, that's hidden from the customer. There's just something that's going to come up on their screen, their summary screen, that says you've chosen to install these products. But I think we've done a good job this release in hiding some of the implementation details, what software is actually running underneath the console and the bridges from the customer this release. We talked about the common WebSphere profile and the six products that can be installed into it. And again, that was a simplification effort to try to help the customer not have so many WebSphere profiles for them to have to manage. And then I talked about what install panels are in Release 2. And the main point there is that there's a lot less install panels than there used to be. If you go to Chart 8, I have a set of additional resources here, and it has some information about where our info center is for the console, info center for IBM Director, cluster systems management, iSeries Navigator, LDAP, EIM, or Enterprise Identity Mapping, IBM Directory Server, LDAP, and then WebSphere Application Server. So that concludes my presentation on install. Are there any questions at this time? I'm sorry, I heard something, but I didn't hear if there was a question. Okay. It appears there are no questions then. So I will start my bridge concepts presentation a little early. So once again, my name is Susan Kroll, and I've been a team leader for the console this release. If you go to Chart 2, the learning objectives for this presentation are to understand what a bridge is, understand the four bridges that are part of the Virtualization Engine console, and explain what the platform support of each of those bridges are. To be able to name the main functions of each bridge, and to understand how to service each bridge. If you go to Chart 3, this is probably the chart I'll spend the most time on. basically the top picture shows the virtualization and in console user interface, and I'm sure you saw a lot of charts that Greg presented on what the user interface looks like. Next is Health Center, and that is what would basically be called the virtualization and in console installer. And then at the bottom is all of the bridges that it can connect to. So basically, like I said, we use web services, and so what we end up with is somewhat of a traditional client-server model where the health center or the virtualization engine console is the client, and each of the bridges are the server. So basically, we took consoles that the customer is familiar with, such as cluster systems management on AIX or IBM Director, which runs on a lot of platforms, lots of customers are used to using it on Windows, and we wrote a web services implementation on top of that that allows to return information generically about each of these bridges to the top box or to Health Center. And so basically Health Center doesn't really know what it's talking about, and the bridge is a way to bridge on top of an existing console and provide a generic set of web services information that flows back to the Health Center, and the Health Center then parses those that information and puts it into the user interface that you see above. So as I just talked about, there are four bridges that you can install: the Enterprise Workload Manager bridge to the Virtualization Engine console, and that connects to the domain manager of EWM, the IBM Director bridge to the Virtualization Engine console, and that connects to the management server of IBM Director, the Cluster Systems Management bridge to Virtualization Engine console, and that connects to the management server of CSM, and then the Management Central bridge to Virtualization Engine console, and that connects to the management server of Management Central. We do have one other, what we call management source, or a source of information about systems management that we connect to, and that's IBM Tivoli Monitoring, or ITM. And that was implemented slightly differently, and so there's actually not a bridge installable unit for that to get information back from ITM. It's done in a different way, and so basically comes with a console and isn't in an installable unit. So if you look at the little purple boxes at the bottom of the screen, that's representing endpoints. And so the virtualization engine console and then any of these bridges can either be on the same machine or they can be on different machines. And in almost every case, the machine that they're on has to be the bridge that the bridge is installed on has to be the same machine as what the management server is on. So for example, with EWM, the bridge has to be put on the same machine as the domain manager. For cluster systems management, the bridge has to be put on the same machine as the management server. For management central, the bridge has to be put on the same machine as the central system. IBM Director is a little different in that there is an option that is presented as install for the bridge to be installed onto a different machine than IBM Director Management Server, but there are some post-install configuration steps that the customer is going to have to take to get single sign-on working in Release 2. So we're encouraging customers to install it on the same machine as their existing IBM Director Management Server. So the purple boxes are endpoint systems that each of those is connecting to. And there's been some confusion here about whether or not you have to put your bridge on every machine where there's an endpoint, and the answer is definitely not. Just the machine where either the domain manager or the management server, the central system, whatever the terminology is for the existing console, you have to put the bridge on the same machine where that resides. And like I said, there's a little bit more flexibility with the IBM Director project. So the lines between the health center and the bridges represent web services flows flowing back and forth. So hopefully that gives you a little bit more information on the bridge. Certainly has been a little point of confusion for customers because they're not sure what a bridge is and where they have to have it and where they should install it. I think a lot of those answers are helped in the planning wizard, and also some of that has been cleared up by simplifying the installs for each of those bridges. And so the customer doesn't have to see it as much as a huge other installable unit where they have to configure all these LDAP settings. They have to remember all the LDAP settings they typed in the last time. It's really a big deal. If they install, for example, the Management Central Bridge, they don't get any install panels. And so I think we've simplified somewhat the concept of the bridge. We've also done some work, and Mike Murphy is going to be talking about it in the presentation after me, to provide a setup wizard, which will actually allow the customer to connect directly to the bridge without entering the host name and the port where the bridge is residing, which we require them to do in Release 1. So we really require the customer to know a lot about the bridge. And so a goal for Release 2 was to have the customer know less about the bridge and be able to do a lot more of it automatically. So the bullet points that you see on the side are these bridges communicate with existing servers and send information back through web services to Health Center, which puts the information up in the GUI that you see above. And then also, as I mentioned in my install presentation, they all run within a common WebSphere profile running in WebSphere Application Server 6.0. So you want to move on to chart 4. Here's a chart about the 4 bridges that are in Release 2 of the Virtualization Engine Console product, and also mentions what operating systems each of them run on. So the Cluster Systems Management bridge to the Virtualization Engine Console runs just on AIX. The Enterprise Workload Manager bridge to Virtualization Engine Console runs on the most platforms, Windows, X Linux, INP Linux, C Linux, i5OS, and AIX, and as I have in parentheses, ZOS is going to be a post-R2 deliverable. IBM Director Bridge to Virtualization Engine Console runs on Windows, X Linux, INP Linux, C Linux, i5OS, and then AIX will be a post-R2 deliverable. And the Management Central Bridge to Virtualization Engine Console runs on i5OS. And then at the bottom it says where AIX equals AIX 5.3, i5OS equals i5OS v5r3, Linux is SLES 9 and Red Hat Advanced Server 4.0, on any of the Linux platforms, X, IP, Z, Windows 2003 Standard, and Windows 2003 Enterprise Edition. So those are different than what was supported in Release 1. We only supported, for example, Windows 2000 in Release 1, and so we've moved to Windows 2003 in this release. So you can move to Chart 5. I put some information here about the main function of the bridges. If people are interested in knowing a lot more about the bridges, we do have some deep dive presentations from Release 1 where we went more through information about the bridges that existed in Release 1. But here my effort was just to have a quick summary about the terms that we use and what that means on each of the bridges. So for Cluster Systems Management, we have 3 terms. And in the first screen of the Virtualization Engine Console, the Health Center, you would see a status of your resources, status of monitors, and your status of tasks. So you basically came up with these 3 generic categories, and then each of the bridges returned different things for that category. So a resource for Cluster Systems Management can be either an individual P-Series node, or it can be a group of endpoint systems. And this is an AIX product, so the information is only returned about nodes or node groups running the AIX operating system. So for monitoring, it's an RMC or resource monitoring and control condition, and those obviously can be created to monitor resources on any of the endpoint systems in a CSM cluster. And then a task results in either a cluster systems management task or a distributed command execution manager task. For the IBM Director Bridge to Virtualization Engine Console, a resource represents a physical system, a device, or a group managed by Director. A monitor is a Director threshold that can be used to monitor different attributes of resources managed by Director. And a task results in IBM Director Task Activation Records to track the history of the task. So that just kind of gives you a really quick overview about what information is returned back for each of the categories by the bridges. And as I mentioned, there's some deep dives from Release 1, or there's also a lot of information out in our Information Center, both for Release 1 and for Release 2, about these 2 bridges and what information is returned for different categories. So you can go to slide 6. The Enterprise Workload Manager bridge is new for release 2, and so this tells you what it returns for different for the different categories. It actually is not returning anything under the task category. The resource category returns either managed servers or a domain manager. So it can return both information about what the domain manager is doing and then performance data from the managed server. And then a monitor represents kind of an object of collection of service classes, and as it says below, if all of the service class objects in the workload are meeting exceeding goals, then the health is okay. So basically there's a general health that's returned for the monitor category, and then that's included in a general health that's included for resources, monitors, and tasks. And then if at least one service class is not meeting its goals, then the health is set to attention. So basically what you see here is we have these general categories of resource, monitor, and task, and then each of the bridges implemented each of those categories differently depending on what kind of resources the bridge returns information from. And then the Management Central bridge returns systems and system groups from Management Central for resources. For monitors, you can return information on any of the monitors you can create through Management Central, so you can monitor your sister performance, message queues, etc. And then for tasks, you can delete custom tasks, you can run a custom task, so you can run i5OS commands through this interface, and then you can view a status of how the task went when it ran on the system. So this is just a quick overview of the bridges and what kind of information is returned for the different categories. If you can go to chart 7, this is information on servicing your bridges. So first of all, here's the location of where the logs are. So in release 2, the customer is asked to either select the default log location or to create, to change the value. So they actually select where they want their logs to go. And we did some work to actually reroute the WASP logs to go to that location. And so that's another simplification that we added for the customer this release. And so in this case, it will go to the log location selected in install time /VEMS/log/VEMS. And the logs are listed below that we would want the customer to gather in a service type situation. And then I included an example of where the logs end up on i5OS. And then the WebSphere Administrative Console, which, as I mentioned earlier, if a customer, say, for example, has a requirement to change their passwords every 6 months, then they may want to change their LDAP password every 6 months. And so they'll actually need to go into the WebSphere Administrative Console and change it through that interface. So they enter that value during install. They enter, here's my LDAP ID, here's my LDAP hostname, here's my LDAP password. And then if they need to change it, they'll need to go into the WebSphere Administrative Console, which is located at their machine name, port 18552, IBM console, and then they can use that Administrative Console to change that information. And if for some reason they also want to change their LTPA keys, because there is, which is, like I said, a flat file that gets moved between different servers that helps single sign-on, actually enable single sign-on between the console and the bridge machines. And if for some reason they want to change those because they are an element of security and they do have a password associated with them, then they would also use the Administrative Console to change those for the bridges. So if you can move to chart 8, the conclusion here is to, I hope that you now understand more of what a bridge is. The bridge has really been kind of a confusing concept for customers, but basically all it is a set of web services, the web services server that sits on top of the console that they're already familiar with or that they may be trying for the first time in the example of IBM Director. And it allows all the information to be returned to the console in a generic manner, which is really some of the power of the virtualization engine console, which I'm sure Greg talked about, which is you can retrieve resources, view information, view status on this disparate group of resources, so EWM objects, Management Central objects, on just a wide variety of platforms, and you can retrieve all of that information in a generic way. And the bridge basically is a web services implementation in WebSphere that allows that to happen in a secure kind of way. So I talked about the four bridges that we have, one to Cluster Systems Management, one to IBM Director, one to Enterprise Workload Manager, or EWM, and one to Management Central. And all of those are the four bridges that you can install during release two, and I talked about the platform support of each of those. I talked just quickly about the main functions of each bridge, so the information that they return for each of the different categories. And once again, I encourage you, if you'd like to see more information, to go out to our information center where it would provide more information to the customer on what the functions of each of these bridges are. And then also I provided some information on how to service each bridge and how to use the WebSphere app. The WebSphere administrative server is the way that the customer would change LDAP settings or do some of the common tasks that customers might want to do. And the next page, unfortunately, when it was sent in, is blank, but it should be the same additional resources page as you see in the presentation that I just did, which lists the information center's location for the console and then the consoles that you can connect to through the virtualization engine console, such as Cluster Systems Management, iSeries Navigator, IBM Director, etc. That concludes my presentation on the bridge. Are there any questions at this time? Okay. Otherwise, thank you for your attention. And
all lines are open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Susan.
Yeah.
This is Madeline Nick. Thank you so much for that very informative and clear presentations. I do have a question, though, about your reference to the previous deep dives for V1. Are they prerequisite to these deep dives?
Oh, I would say definitely not. I just, in case anybody wanted some more information, I just mentioned them because there was a whole half-hour presentation about the bridge to IBM Director and a whole half-hour presentation about the bridge to Cluster Systems Management, and I think it was maybe a 20-minute presentation about the bridge to Management Central. And so if people really wanted more information specifically about what any of those bridges do, that would be the place where I would point them, or like I said, Information Center. But basically, we didn't want to repeat the same information as we did in Release 1, and so I didn't want to go through all of the implementation-specific details, and so that's why I chose to just give a quick summary and then mention the ones from Release 1.
Well, that's good. So are the bridges, are they all the same? So therefore, maybe what I should do is still maintain that information up on the site as I refresh all the materials.
Yes. That's what I was saying, is that IBM Director, Cluster Systems Management Central, basically didn't have a lot of changes this release. There wasn't much new functionality, and so that's why I didn't want to go over them again. So, yeah, it would be good to keep those out on the website so that people could see them.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. We can close the call, operator.
Thank you, Ms. Nick. You have a nice day.
Yes, you too. Thank you.